Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, November 26th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The two opposition formations that broke away from former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's main MDC reunited today, pledging to work together to unseat President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party in the next elections.
When the struggle against Mugabe became too difficult, when it became too protracted, when it was longer than we had originally thought in 1999, some of us began to admire the tactics and the methods of ZANU-PF.
The ruling ZANU-PF party's Politburo is meeting in the capital, but it is not clear if under fire Vice President Joyce Mujuru is attending the meeting following the humiliation she has been experiencing at the hands of her party in recent times.
One thing you must understand is that over the years, ZANU-PF has become President Mugabe's party. No one can say anything against Mr. Mugabe's wishes.
And Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa is tomorrow expected to present the country's 2015 national budget, but many people doubt it will be pro-poor.
The two MDC formations that broke away from former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's main MDC today announced their reunification, pledging to work together to unseat President Robert Mugabe and his ruling ZANU-PF party in the next elections. Thomas Cheripasi has more details from the capital.
The MDC formation led by Walsh Mencube and the MDC renewal team today formed a new party that they are calling United MDC. Speaking at the reunification ceremony, interim president of the MDC renewal team, Sekai Holland, said they found it necessary to reunite in order to mount a strong challenge to ZANU-PF in the next elections and offer a solution to the economic problems afflicting many Zimbabweans today.
In that context of an engagement, I think that what we need to understand that is we aim to create a party that is predictable, definable, controllable, manageable by participating and putting in place institutions of all the mechanisms that we put together in agreement and by consensus to strengthen our democracy. Senze sisonke, tithe zvinhu tiri pamwe chete.
Mude said it was also necessary for the two MDC formations to return to the founding values and principles of the opposition of 1999.
The values which, along the way, as Honorable Biti said, when the struggle against Mugabe became too difficult, when it became too protracted, when it was longer than we had originally thought in 1999, some of us began to admire the tactics and the methods of ZANU-PF. We began to mimic those very things we had come together to oppose. We began to tell each other, but in ZANU-PF, look at Ngewenzagala. Yes, Ngewenzagala, because we are not ZANU-PF.
Mube led a rebellion against Tsvangirai in October 2005 over disagreements on whether to participate in the reintroduced senatorial elections, while former Finance Minister Tendai Biti also parted ways with Tsvangirai and his team after the opposition's heavy loss to ZANU-PF in last year's elections, saying the MDC needed new blood to steer its struggle for democracy forward. But independent political analyst Sidney Masamvu said all opposition forces in the country need to work together if they were to mount a strong challenge to President Mugabe and his ruling ZANU-PF party.
I think this is a very positive step in the right direction ahead of the elections. I think what we've witnessed today goes a long way, that if opposition parties coalesce together, given the rupture that is happening in the ruling party, they stand a better chance of making headway and reclaiming their political space come the 2018 elections. I believe what we've witnessed today should form the basis of a greater sort of coordination and cooperation among opposition political parties in Zimbabwe. And I look forward to the MDC renewal taking a step further in impressing all opposition parties to form a working arrangement to change the political status quo in the country.
Some civil society organizations and foreign diplomats also attended today's event. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The ruling ZANU-PF party's Politburo is meeting in the capital today, but it is not clear if under fire Vice President Joyce Mujuru is attending the meeting. The state-controlled ZBC reported that Mrs. Mujuru was not at the ZANU-PF headquarters for the meetings, a sign that the rift between her and those calling for her ouster from the party is widening. At the same time, the page of Mrs. Mujuru's allies from the influential Central Committee continued today, with the latest victims being Technology Minister Webster Shamu and Minister in the Vice President's Office Sylvester Nguni. ZANU-PF insiders say the meeting today was aimed at finalizing constitutional reforms that will see power being concentrated in the office of the President. The president will be given powers to appoint his deputies and the party chairman in what some hardliners in the party say will end factionalism that is tearing the party apart. Nicholas Goche, who sources say is facing arrest for allegedly plotting to assassinate President Robert Mugabe, told Studio 7 that he was not at liberty to comment. Political analyst Joy Mabenge of Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that giving the president more powers will not solve the factional disputes in ZANU-PF.
One thing you must understand is that over the years, ZANU-PF has become President Mugabe's party. No one can say anything against Mr. Mugabe's wishes. But what you must understand really about concentrating power in Mr. Mugabe's hands is that it is a self-correcting measure. Everybody knows that the chaos that we are seeing today, it is because of the failure by its first secretary, Mr. Mugabe, to deal decisively with the succession issue. But also it is because of the first secretary's fear of his own lieutenants, to the point that he doesn't trust anyone other than his own family. That's why he even brought my Grace Mugabe much closer.
But what is the future of Vice President Joyce Mujuru and her backers in the party?
Well, her backers are clearly out of influential position. As for the Vice President Joyce Mujuru, Mugabe has always played these factions against each other. So he may let a good number of those that are associated with my Mujuru fall by the wayside. But when it comes to my Mujuru, he may choose to be magnanimous and choose to play a balancing act, but Emmanuel Juru, that the provincial electorate directorate of ZANU-PF rejected. I mean, it only tells you that it is going to be a severely weakened Emmanuel Juru. His second option is to get done once and for all with the vice president and let her sink. But the only way that you can let her sink is to let the allegations of corruption, misuse and abuse of office, to let course of law take its course, so that he is not seen to be the one who would have victimized the Vice President, Mujuru.
A political analyst Joy Mabenge of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, still with ZANU-PF, ordinary Zimbabweans who for the past month have watched with intrigue the unfolding ZANU-PF soap opera led by First Lady Grace Mugabe's verbal attacks on Vice President Joyce Mujuru to the Deputy President's failure to get a seat in the party's influential Central Committee, say it looks like Vice President Joyce Mujuru's political career is all but over in the ruling party. Only President Robert Mugabe can revive her career, many opined in interviews with Studio 7 Today. Correspondent Ivan Chifera hears more from the capital.
Ms. Mujuru has been under siege following First Lady Grace Mugabe's call to her husband to court Baby Dambuye at the party's congress next week, alleging she is corrupt, inept, and was plotting to remove Mr. Mugabe from office at the beginning of the year. No one would have written the script that continues to unfold in ZANU-PF, especially that Ms. Mujuru would fail to gain a seat on the party's powerful organ, the Central Committee. Ms. Mugabe has urged Ms. Mujuru during a so-called Meet the People rally to apologize to her husband for her alleged transgressions. Now it appears her fate is all but sealed, with Mr. Mugabe expected to appoint his deputies at next week's Congress. But according to the ZANU-PF Constitution, Mr. Mugabe can still appoint her to the party's Central Committee, with some arguing President Mugabe will try to keep Ms. Mujuru close despite dumping her from the vice presidency. But many city residents told Studio 7 this is unlikely, given that Ms. Mujuru, who until recently was tipped to succeed President Robert Mugabe, has been accused of plotting to oust him from office. Harare resident Richard Ndibatei says, with what the First Lady has been saying, it will be a tough time for President Mugabe to appoint Ms. Mujuru.
It's going to be a very difficult or maybe a delicate balancing act for President Robert Mugabe, because he has his wife to contend with at home, on whom I think now, as a 90-year-old, he is relying upon, particularly in the governance of the country. And he calls for Mujuru to be baby dumped, to use their language, could be like a family chat. That was it. We discussed it at home.
Jeffrey Moyo says even if Ms. Mujuru is appointed, she will return to the Central Committee, a weaker politician.
It is possible that Mugabe may consider Mujuru, but at the same time, he will be knowing that he has managed to weaken your position. He has managed to get rid of all the other officials who were sympathizing with him in the party.
Ms. Mujuru lost a seat in the Central Committee after her home province of Mashonaland Central declined a nomination, saying it did not want to be associated with anyone facing charges of trying to topple the president. Several of her allies around the country have also fallen by the wayside. While others sympathize with Ms. Mujuru, others like this one resident who declined to be named said she was also partly responsible for the serious economic problems Zimbabwe is facing.
I don't sympathize with Joyce Mujuru because she's part of the ZANU-PF. She's been eating with the ZANU-PF. She's one of the major contributors to this poverty and these challenges we are facing as a nation. So whatever is going to happen to her, that's it. I don't sympathize with her.
Asked whether they thought ZANU-PF could split as a result of the ongoing problems, many residents felt Ms. Mujuru and her allies should not leave ZANU-PF as they risk worse persecution if they pulled out.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of just dropping out those unruly elements and keeping the part of the people who are committed.
The state has been accusing Ms. Mujuru of involvement in shady deals as calls for her ouster from a faction allegedly led by a rival for the president in ZANU-PF led by Justice Mnangagwa grew louder. The Mnangagwa faction currently seems to be enjoying the support of the First Family, with Mnangagwa himself tipped to take over as one of the country's vice presidents after next week's Congress. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a peak review or preview at Zimbabweans' wishes in the 2015 national budget.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Midwestern U.S. town of Ferguson saw a second night of unrest and solidarity demonstrations were held nationwide to protest a grand jury's decision not to indict a white police officer who shot and killed an unarmed black teenager. More than 2,000 National Guard soldiers have been deployed in Ferguson, Missouri, to guard against fresh racially charged riots which broke out late Monday after it was announced that charges would not be filed against Officer Darren Wilson. VOA's Aisha Tazim, who is in Ferguson, says there has been no repeat of the widespread looting that was seen on the first night of the protest when over a dozen buildings were set on fire. A tense moment occurred late yesterday when a group of protesters smashed the windows and set fire to a police car in front of Ferguson City Hall.
A gunman opened fire on a polio vaccination team in southwestern Pakistan today, killing at least four people and wounding several others. Police say that three female health workers are among the dead. The incident occurred in Quetta, the capital of violence-hit Baluchistan province.
And activists say the death toll from Syrian airstrikes on the Islamic State group's main city of Raqqa has risen to at least 95 people. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says yesterday's attacks on an industrial area and popular market near the city's museum also injured at least 120 people. The Syrian Observatory, which has documented casualties throughout Syria's nearly four-year civil war, said the dead include at least 52 civilians. It did not specify how many militants, if any, were killed.
The Harare Residents Trust says it is against the installation of prepaid water meters that the Harare City Council intends to introduce in the capital. Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba says the move by the council is unconstitutional. Water, he says, is a human right. But Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni told Studio 7 that the move is no longer avoidable, as it is the biggest option that can help the local authority to collect revenue to ensure constant water supply in the city. Manyenyeni said the local authority will, however, look at ways to make sure the poor are protected. He said Harare residents should be clear on whether they are against water meters or paying for the water coming through their taps. But Shumba tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the council wants to privatize water by installing the prepaid meters.
The Harare Residents Trust, from preliminary investigations and interviews with the residents from the high-density areas and low-density areas, has received mixed signals. The majority of Harare residents in high-density areas are objecting to the introduction of prepaid meters because they believe this will increase the cost of water, and the city of Harare has not fully explained why they wanted to introduce prepaid water meters. It would appear that those in the low-density areas who have not received the municipal water believe that the introduction of prepaid water meters will actually enhance their chances of accessing municipal water.
There are also some who think that by installing prepaid water meters, the council is privatizing water. Do you agree with this?
We fully agree. Because the introduction of prepaid water meters, there's a need to recover the investment in terms of the installation and the technology.
That was Director Precious Shumba of the Harare Resident Trust speaking from Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Meanwhile, the Bulawayo City Council says it is going ahead with installing prepaid water meters in the city as directed by the government, beginning with Cowdery Park, Sebab, as a pilot project, despite a protest by Bulawayo residents last week against the move. This came out at a meeting organized by the National Youth Development Trust in Bulawayo today, where the youths grilled the local authority officials from the finance and engineering departments on the project, which they say undermines people's rise to water as they cannot afford to pay in advance for the service due to economic hardships. National Youth Development Trust Programs Officer Alfred Ngube tells reporter Sandekile Mhlanga his organization will hold more consultative meetings on the issue.
young people wanted clarity straight from the council. Because since this policy issue has been talked about, no council official has engaged young people or the residents to give clarity on what exactly is this animal called prepaid water meters and what is the intention of the animal.
Are you doing this in solidarity with the marches that were staged in the city last week?
NYDT was part of the organization that organized the march against the prepaid water meters. So it is a follow-up by young people who are also part of the residents of the city of Bulawayo that they needed more clarity.
What came out of this meeting and what's your next step?
The young people queried that the people who are residing at Shalani Gutle at Kaldo Park are the people who are affected by Operation Mrambatswina. So if you are introducing a prepaid water meter to a basic human right, which is water, what are you saying to a person who can't even afford to send their kid to school to get basic primary health care? Council officials said they have no capacity anymore to deal with to address the challenge which was started by the government of allocating people houses without servicing the land. So it's difficult for them to install pipes. So there is no other way around except to introduce the prepaid water meter system.
That was National Youth Development Trust Programs Officer Alfred Ncube speaking with Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa is tomorrow expected to present the country's 2015 national budget, but many people doubt it will be pro-poor as the government is struggling to raise money for various programs. Gibbs Dube has more details.
Economists and ZANU-PF activists who spoke to Studio 7 said the minister has little room to increase taxes to boost revenues owing to the poor performance of industries that are experiencing low production levels hovering at just over 30%. They say Chinamasa may make marginal tax increases in beer and cigarette imports in an effort to increase the revenue base. Almost 80% of the current 4.4 billion budget caters for the government's wage bill. Chinamasa projected in 2013 that the Zimbabwe economy will grow by 6%, a figure that has been downgraded by the country and finance institutions like the International Monetary Fund to just over 2.5%. The IMF indicated recently that conditions remain difficult in Zimbabwe due to liquidity constraints and inconsistent investment policies. Independent economist Anthony Hawkins says Chinamasa faces serious problems as he tries to come out with a pro-poor budget.
There's very little fiscal space, very little scope to raise taxes, and with 80 to 90% of expenditure going on wages, and government having already said it's not going to cut the wage bill in the short term.
Hawking says the minister is unlikely to increase individual taxes, adding that Chinamasa needs to tackle and clarify indigenization policies in order to attract foreign direct investment.
And the problem, as we all know, is that we need to have much more investment, a much higher growth rate, and create jobs for people. That's the best way to attack the poverty problem.
Economic commentator Rejoice Ngwenya of the Liberal Market Solutions echoed the same sentiments.
In every country, we always have revenue. The question being, how do you cut public expenditure in line with the revenue that you get? This is why you find that in other countries like Malawi and other highly impoverished countries. So this is why I insist that he has to be brave enough to reduce the public government expenditure, ensure that he guarantees inflows through exports.
ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya was also less optimistic about the minister's capacity to present a pro-poor budget.
I think it would be a very difficult budget to present, considering that this past week there were reports that the government had a deficit, a budget deficit of quite a large amount of money. Most importantly, the minister would try to cushion the majority who are the poor, considering that our unemployment rates are very high. Those who are employed are really finding it difficult, perhaps in terms of taxes.
Ngwenya said the minister should allocate funds to small businesses, which he says are run by hundreds of Zimbabweans. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Gibbs Dube.
And from Harare, our correspondent spoke with a number of Zimbabweans on what they are expecting from the budget tomorrow.
My name is Sibion George Mugadzaweta. I come from Kambuzuma. What I would like to be included in the budget is the school fees must be cut since our economy is not functioning well. Plus, old age must be given money every month end is what is happening in South Africa. Those are my views.
My name is Aluso Taro from Shitungweza. My view on budget is that the government should first and more foremost, there should be transparency. And the second thing is there is no job creation in Zimbabwe, so they should create more jobs in the country. They should also look on the youth, because now more crimes are being done because of jobless people, and we go to school and no jobs are to be found. So we die with our degrees and no jobs to be found. So we need more jobs in Zimbabwe.
I'm Eugenia Taylor from Glenview. What I think for the budget of tomorrow, the presentation on education, enough budget to education in order for our children to receive adequate provision on education. We don't need teachers to go to strike, because our children is our future leaders. So if they get disturbed from school, their future will get disturbed again. And in health, most of the innocent people are dying just because of less budget to the health in order for the doctors not to strike.
Tune in tomorrow for extensive coverage of the Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa's 2015 national budget.
Lastly, Chris, child rights activist group Shamari Manasikana, director Ekenia Chifamba, says the country's justice system should change and mete out stiffer sentences to child abusers, which he says are on the increase in the country. The number of young girls being sexually abused and facing other forms of abuse in the country is on the rise, she says. Speaking with Marvelous Ntlanganyawie on the second day of the 16 days of activism targeting violence against women, she said family members should report to the police every form of abuse that their young girls are going through. Let's hear what she had to say earlier on with Marvelous Ntlanganyawie.
We've got two programs that we're going to be having in commemoration for these 16 days of activism. The first one is called Women as Role Models. Women as Role Models is a program where we're having women, we have made it through the top, those key successful figures. And also they will be sharing their stories, stories that include their past, how some of them were abused, how some of them were disadvantaged, but at the end of the day made it to the top. We're also going to have our girls in the same room sharing their stories, also the challenges that they are facing in general, and also cases of abuse that they have encountered. And this program also gives the women the space and time to see how best they can also assist these girls with how they have made it to the top in different ways, maybe offering psychosocial support and at times also even resources to see these girls on top. And then we also have another program which will be sponsored by the World Children's Prize Foundation, in which we'll be launching the Children's Rights Platform, involving the chiefs, the headmen, the education sector, the community at large, as well as girls and also boys.
That was the director of Shamari Manasikana, Ekenia Chifamba, speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Ntlanganyawie from Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the two MDC factions reuniting.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Now we take a look at today's top stories.
The two opposition MDC formations that broke away from former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC formation reunited today, pledging to work together to unseat President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party in the next national elections.
The ruling ZANU-PF party's Politburo is meeting in the capital, but it is not clear if under fire Vice President Joyce Mujuru is attending the meeting following the humiliation she has been experiencing at the hands of her party in recent times.
And Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa is tomorrow expected to present the country's 2015 national budget, but many people doubt it will be pro-poor. So please remember to tune in tomorrow for the full coverage of the 2015 national budget.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.